Welcome, everybody, to episode 178 of the Whiskey and Watches podcast. It's like we have the rotating slots going, you know? I mean, it was Buzz, and it was Spangler, now it's Buzz. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we'll have a full deck next week.
Hey,
really excited about the topics we might be diving into. That's a little bit of a precursor for what we may be talking about. And we may or may not have a guest lined up, so it'll be a good time. But that's episode 179. Let's talk about episode 178, Buzz. What do we got going on?
All right, yeah, it's great to be back. I am Schwarzkopfing for no reason at all right now. I've got my Tudor Black Bay 58. As far as I know, it was never created for any sort of special ops groups or anything. You know, just created for average Joes and average Buzzes to buy from average Spanglers because he's my AD. I wore this one to the Reds game today because it would have made too much sense for me to wear my red Omega X Swatch, Moon Swatch Mission to Mars, which is on my other wrist. I think it's very funny that the kids really like the Mission to Mars specifically because they want to see the Mars on the battery hatch. That's a great, great entertainer for them. Well, and also the fact I shrink the strap to the smallest possible size, and I'm just freaking bomb around the house with it, because at the end of the day, it's all right. It'll be okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's no, like, Parchy for Hodinkee or anything, but...
No, not the mil-spec kids watch, by any means.
No, not at all. Not at all. But yeah. Yeah, that's on the rest. I've got the Warsteiner Dunkel, not an Oktoberfest, just a Dunkel, because
bottle.
Oh, of course. I mean, if it were truly a good night, I would be drinking it out of a mass Stein, but it's okay. I don't have three beers worth of life left in me at this point in the day. A Halbmaß, I could do that, but yeah, not three of these. It's not happening. It's a school night, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. It are. I was joking with you. I almost also had a Warsteiner.
Yeah.
But I do have... We were at Jungle Gyms over the weekend, and I've been on an Oktoberfest kick. I mentioned having the Yuengling Oktoberfest. Didn't finish those, but I saw the Warsteiner out, and I was like, you know, I want a good German Oktoberfest for this part of the calendar, and they aren't going to be around as long.
Yes.
So snagged a 12-pack of that. Was going to have one on the show tonight, but our dinner of choice tonight over at Chipotle, I was really hungry, so I went for the full burrito, and there is no room left for anything other than what is in the can right now, which is a Happy Dad hard seltzer. There's just no space. Like, I don't normally go the burrito. I've been going the bowl lately, and I've been trying to not eat the whole thing for any number of reasons, and I was hungry, and I went for it today. I went full send, and I can feel it. So we're just going to go, and just go light on the beverages tonight. On the wrist, it's been, you know, it's funny. This has not been up in my room. It's just been sitting on my desk in the office. And typically I put the watch on as I get ready for the day. So I haven't worn this one in a while because it's been sitting downstairs. And I was like, you know, something, I make a conscious effort because every day for the last week and a half, I was like, oh, I should wear that, but I've already got a watch on. So I have the Zodiac Super Seawolf Black Ceramic with the Midnight Blue Dial, which just, it's back on the stock strap with the black buckle. It just kills. I love this watch. So haven't worn it in a while. Glad I picked it up today to wear. So just all the little details. And it's kind of timely because I saw a teaser the other day, not really of anything in specific, but it looks like they're doing another collab with Worn and Wound. And yes, the original one was really funky and really cool. So I can only imagine what they're going to do this go round now that they've got titanium, ceramic, a very, like, I'd be really curious as to where they could potentially take this. I hope it's still a Super Seawolf because that is kind of my favorite part of the collection. But that's just kind of, I'm curious to see where that one goes. I got confused because I thought that that was dropping today, and I was like, where is it? They're actually, it wouldn't shock me if they are doing a release party as part of Windup.
Yes.
In October in New York, because this just says coming soon. What I saw that was released today was the Benriss Ultra Deep, the Dual Crown that they didn't do it with Worn and Wound, but there was a group of our other friends, some of our other friends who were part of a Lake Michigan diving trip that has now taken place at the last two Windup Chicagos. So they kind of did a release there. There's a write-up with Jason Heaton. Looks like a really cool watch, Dual Crown, just kind of like awesome, just spec Dual Crown diver. I think it's really neat.
Yeah, utterly gorgeous. Longtime listeners of the podcast know my general love of the Dual Crown Diver. I don't particularly care if it's not quite as useful as a traditional dive bezel. It's got style points, and those style points, like so many style points, it's coming out the wazoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really, really sharp. I know that it's a new release, but you double take really hard of like, you know, is this not, you know, some new old stock deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
Yes, definitely. In other new watch news, did you see the significantly more appropriately sized Oris Diver 65 chronograph?
Yeah, it's 40.
Yes.
Diameter. That's perfect. When we had the original Diver 65 chrono in, all the numbers are big. Guess what? It doesn't wear big. In particular, the thickness is the biggest red herring in the history of watch numbers, because the crystal on the, I mean, all the Diver 65 have a little bit, but on the chrono specifically, the crystal is so tall that, like, if you will, like the case, the lugs and the shoulders, and everything are not at all thick. And you don't, I mean, I never noticed like the crystal would, you know, run into stuff or anything. It really was great on the wrist. And, you know, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't tried it on for a while. So highly, yeah, I really liked that when that came out. Call me crazy, I like a two register. They're fun. They're different. So I think that'll be a good one for them. Yeah, it is true. Pricing wise, it's in a pretty busy spot. But
yeah.
But I think that I think that's a good one.
It absolutely is. I will say too, I think they shaved 2 millimeters off the thickness. It's still 15 and a half thick, but the other one was 17, and it didn't really wear like that. Like the mid case was always like nice and thin. And I think the other thing that they did too is a lot of it is in the case back. So depending on what, that's either going to work really well on your wrist or not that well. It really just kind of depends on the shape and the where you wear your watch and how much meat there is between your two radius and your ulna. If you wear it in the right spot and there's a decent gap there, you'll be fine. If not, it might be a little uncomfortable. So it will be, But 40 millimeter is going to be way better than the 43 from just from a wearability perspective. And it looks really sharp.
I wonder if we'll ever see a version. I did like the, bronze worked into the original. I mean, obviously everyone knows that I dig gilt, with black, right? Like that's the, well, my 58 is, and that's the one to get, I say. So it'd be cool to see that.
I'm sure that this won't just be a standalone model. I'm sure eventually there will be some more fun things coming out with this this case size. But whether it'll be dial, it'd be really cool if they did a panda.
Yeah.
Or a reverse panda. I could see white subdials or a white dial with black subdials working really well there. I think that would be killer. I love the fact that it's a rotating bezel.
Mm-hmm.
You can do some fun stuff there with Bico. You could do different color bezel and dial. I mean, you could do a black bezel, white dial, black sub registers. I think that would really look cool.
Yeah.
So there's any number of combinations you can do, but it's a great, great case structure.
Oh, yeah.
Great canvas with which to work. I think that's a killer release. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I saw recently. New release, not particular, but I did have the pleasure of our buddy Chancellor.
Oh, nice.
Coming to visit. He brought his cousin with him, just looking at some watches, some things that he may be moving that I may be interested in, which will lead to the fresh form finds. But I did get to see the Dornbluth that he commissioned, and that thing was absolutely stellar. You know, just really, really, really nice piece. I know it took him quite some time for it to come in, but just really a spectacular piece. The other one that was fun to see again, because I've seen these before, but to see again, it's just absurd. It is just absurd. But the Bulgari Octofinissimo, the original with the sandblasted titanium and the gray dial and the black indices, the thing is like 5 millimeters thick, and it is just absolutely insane. It wears like a cuff. It just, I love it. I don't know that I could pull it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just so much of a statement piece.
It's serious, serious watchmaking chops, but definitely, fashion forward, right?
I mean, like, even if I was back in the office and, you know, wearing a sport coat and shirt daily, which would kind of be my style, I still just, like, that is just so, it's just so, I don't say out there, because it's not, like, it's a great design, but, like, that is just so not the norm of what you see in regular 9-to-5 America. Now, I feel like I've been to other corporate headquarters for large investment banks and other places like that, and you see your managing directors and your executives walking around in some pretty serious pieces, but, like, outside of a law firm, which is, I know, where Chancellor works, there's some heavy hitters and there's some pieces that I'm sure walk those halls. But like your average 9-to-5 corporate America gig, you've got some nice watches on certain wrists, but like nothing's really out of the ordinary. You know what I mean? Like you see, and I know you're kind of in that, but you talk about seeing the Diver 65, the Aquis, Omegas, some vintage Rolex that people have just had forever. I mean, those are your it's standard fare, realistically. I don't know that I've seen very many Bulgaris on wrists.
No.
Like, I don't know that I've seen, like, and when you get excited about certain things too, you're like, oh, that's cool. But it's like, it's not extraordinary. It's not one of those, like, you're like, oh, I saw a Daytona. Like, well, that still looks like a watch. Like a normal person won't, like, I don't say like a normie, like a normie is probably going to know it's a Rolex. A normie is going to say, oh, that's a cool looking Rolex. But like, you're not going to look at it and say, wow, that's really out there. It's like, oh no, it's a watch and it's got some extra functions. Cool. It's got buttons, as my boys would say.
Yes.
Like, you see some two-tone stuff and you see some gold pieces here and there, but like, you don't see like high horology very often.
No, not so, at all. That actually is my biggest issue with like the Octo, like the entire line, is what the heck do I wear and where do I go with it? Like it. So, and I don't have that mental block with like a Cartier tank, for example, right? Like, if I ever got a tank, I mean, you wear it with long sleeve dress wear, possibly a polo shirt, possibly like polo shirt and slacks, not polo shirt and jeans. Right, you know, it's got a spot mentally in, the whole
or
what I do with it,
or I mean, realistically, in that situation, you solve for versatility and you don't buy the tank, you get the Santos.
Right.
But that's just kind of where my head goes.
Yeah. Well, and that's why
same story, like. I'm with you. I don't have like if I got a Santos, it's like, oh, you could find a way to wear that anywhere.
Right.
And I guess technically that would be the approach you'd have to take with an Octo, but it's just, it's a big watch too. Like it's thin, but because of its shape, it's just, it takes up so much real estate.
Yeah, it's got a real presence. So
it does.
I don't know. I mean, I guess that would be a good question for Chancellor. Like, they just wear with the suit and any other things, right?
I mean, I feel like if you're wearing it with a suit or with a sport coat, there has to be a pocket square involved.
Oh, yeah.
There can't not be.
Absolutely.
You have to go. You have to lean fully in too. So. I can't think of another watch but where I...
Does it go with an ascot?
Oh, I think they're encouraged.
Hmm.
I mean, I honestly... Even when I had visions of the Moser Streamliner, same deal. Can't... I don't have the same... Again, because... Even though that in and of itself is a unique shape and a unique design, it isn't as unique and as out there as a Octo. Like you can still look at this, oh, that's more of like a cushion shaped watch, but it's still, you can still tell what, like the Octo is just so much different.
True. Yeah. I mean, The funny thing is oftentimes a bracelet kind of makes it less formal, and with both the Streamliner and the Bulgari, I feel like it makes it like way harder to wear, like they're too unique.
But the party piece that he brought over was the watch that I wanted to see. And it's amazing that I've not seen one of these in person yet. And it's the new, not new anymore, the Zenith Chronomaster Sport, the one that looks like the Daytona. And he has the black dial version, which is fantastic. It is just absolutely in person fantastic. The 41 millimeter case size does not matter. It wears like a dream. The bracelet is phenomenal. It just, it's an amazing piece. And, you know, with the El Primero that I have, it they're completely different. Like, there's not, I mean, there are similarities, but, like, they could occupy the same space. So any questions that I had about kind of where things are, where things could be, I think I would actually lean in and go black dial for that watch, like the one that he has, mm-hmm. which conversations are being had, but
you're just a fool for Zenith chronographs with three different color subdials. Just think
of, I may be going full Zenith guy. I know we did that episode a while ago.
You've got to purchase a lot of slacks, my friend.
Dude, I got plenty of slacks. Don't worry. Today was an unfavorable day for slacks, but the last week and a half have been very slacks favorable. And I've been leaning in.
There you go. You're being the change you want to see in the world.
I wore a sport coat to church on Sunday.
Attaboy.
So there you go. You know, it was one of the three sport coats that I picked up at our boy Trevor. the one that doesn't need any tailoring. So that was the other two are off at the tailors getting sleeves and bodies adjusted slightly. But I'm excited to get two of those back, those other two back. So we'll see. But anyway, shall we jump into the fresh form finds?
Certainly.
Well, nothing's really changed since last week. The SRQ zero, actually, the SRQ 029's gotten a couple of nibbles.
Oh, yeah?
So if you're interested, let me know. I'm fairly flexible on what I'm looking for. So that's still available. The SP GJ, whatever the, it's the, what the Mountain Glacier Alpinist is still available, as is the SARX 069, the nicest watch in the collection. the Seiko Turnograph, really cool piece, just not getting the wrist time. And as previously mentioned with the Zenith, I'm very torn about this, but I am going to put it out there. The Grand Seiko.
Yes.
SBGE 249. The Timeless Luxury Limited Edition from, gosh, what is this, 5 years ago now? One of number 247 out of 250. If you have any interest, let me know. We'll see where this goes. Anyway, it's just where I'm going to leave it. The Zenith has gotten me thinking. So things are in motion, or maybe in motion. We'll see. I don't want to turn into Job Bluth, but I don't know.
A huge mistake, Michael.
I've made a terrible mistake. Illusions.
Trick is something a whore does for money.
Magician Gob Bluth.
The Alliance of Magicians. We demand to be taken seriously.
Dozen different group, but dozens of us.
Yeah.
So what have you got, Buzzy?
Yeah, trying to clear out some stuff so I can buy an Aztec tomb. I'm definitely not going to buy that illusion. They showed how it worked on local news television the first episode of Arrested Development. I found something cool. This is a Glashütte Original Panomatic Lunar. This guy is asking $5,999 dollars. So $6,000 plus shipping, because, you know, why would you pay for shipping like a total chump, you know, out of your
proceeds.
Yeah. It looks pretty good. It's got the obviously the watch manuals,
the strap and the deployant clasp. Looked pretty nice. Guys on the watch you seek. They say he's down to FaceTime if you want to, you know, pour through the details. But yeah, I like those. If you're not sure if you want to go full Longa, and you just but you got the itch, you need something from Niedersachsen, this would be a really really good choice for you. A little moon phase action, a little big date action.
You know what's funny?
What?
Our buddy Chancellor has had one of those at some point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I don't think he still has it, but I know he had it. So.
I don't know if you would call it a micro rotor, because it is still pretty decently sized, but the display back, you know, you see your fancy rotor and windings and Niedersachsen stripes, not Geneva stripes.
Nope, not Geneva.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet. I, in general, don't have anything like this. Probably never will, but I always thought that these are a really fun way to do dress watches, right? Just a bunch of stuff slapped on the dial with a nifty in-house movement, and just a lot of fun going on there. So yeah,
so
head on over to Watch You Seek. Then also, I do still have my Monta. I had two guys talking to me. One kind of got cold feet, not quite sure if he wanted a GMT. The other one lowballed. Not a ridiculous lowball, but why lock in that much of a loss? So,
yeah.
Especially when I don't have to sell. So,
correct.
Yeah. Yeah, Black Sky Quest still available. Just,
there you go.
Just not getting anywhere, which is a shame. It should be getting worn. Let's have a fun selling experience. You know, someone that decides like, oh, I've wanted a GMT for my flying, so I could get like a picture of it up in the sky, kind of like how the Doxa got those awesome videos of scuba in Hawaii from the guy I sold it to.
Speaking of scuba in Hawaii, I don't know that our boy Matt McDee is really doing any scuba diving. I'm sure he's getting some water time. But I know there was a tutor released last week, and Spangler and I talked about it. And I can't remember. No, it was Friday. So the very next day, yes. We talked about it on Thursday. The very next day, I am driving to go pick up my oldest at school, and I get the random Friday phone call from McDee, which, you know, those random phone calls happen. You know, he drives a lot between client meetings, so mm-hmm. on occasion when he's got some windshield time, I get a call. Not always on Friday, just randomly, and it's great. And I could tell he was in his car, which, you know, didn't seem unusual.
Yeah, it
didn't seem unusual at
this
all.
This is like literally the thing that links all of these things together, right?
Yeah, all those things together. So we're talking, and we're talking about he's taking a family trip out to Hawaii, having a good time. You know, talking about what watch he's going to bring, and you know, he had mentioned that he had asked for an allocation of the new Tudor Pelagos FXD. You know, it kind of fits his mil-spec, little quirkier type of stuff. You know, we're kind of joking about, hey, is your SPB 149 going to survive? What's going to survive? And he's like, yeah, probably none of those things. It's because, you know, I want something a little quirkier. I like the mil-spec aspect. And, you know, we all know that about him.
Oh, for sure.
So I kind of figured, all right. I'm like, well, I hope it comes in enough time for you to take it to Hawaii. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. You know, not really sure. He goes, you know, maybe. But then 2 hours later, on the group text, there's a picture of a new Pelagos FXD on his wrist. To which I'm like, dude, you were in the car on your way there. You could have told me. To which his co-host replies, he left my house and didn't tell me. So, yeah, McDM, we're putting you on blast here a little bit. Like, we were both just like, wait, what? What just happened? Greg was like, you left my house and went right for it and didn't say a word. I was like, Greg, he called me on the way and didn't mention it. Like, oh, man.
It's
so utter. I hope that whoever is on their show when he gets back and starts recording from his vacation really, like, just gives it to him.
It just cracks me up because, you know, they literally call you to say, we've got the thing that you want to buy, so come to buy it. It's not like they're going to give it to someone else. Like, if Greg buddied along with them down to the AD, it's not like they'd be like, well, I don't know, Greg, would you like to buy this instead? Yeah, that's not how it works, right?
No. 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 Oh, man. It's really funny. Like, it's like he went, like, complete stealth mode. Like, that is so funny. Anyway, I'm glad he's enjoying it. I'm hoping it's getting some good water time, even if he's not donning scuba gear. But anyway, no, that's, I guess, you know, we didn't get your thoughts on the watch. It's funny, as I think about it more, like, again, I don't really have any, like, is it a big deal? No. Is it a cool watch? Yeah. Is it something that I'm rushing out? Like, am I Matt McDeeing out here? Probably not, but in some ways it's a watch that in that line seems like it should have existed already.
Oh yeah. That was my first take when I saw it. I said, this exists already, right?
Like, yeah, but it doesn't, which is weird.
Yeah. It's got a neat backstory, you know, with it being available to certain units and stuff. Watches of Espionage, I think, had a pretty decent blurb on it. I think I was reading it there.
Well, they said that it, at least, like, on, if you're in one of those units, you can get it left-handed, too, which, that would be sick.
Yeah, that's bitching.
That would be, like, so... Would I be rushing out to buy the standard version, the civilian version? No, but if there was a way to source a left-handed one, I'd probably be all in for that. That'd be really cool. I'm left-handed, so I don't wear my watch on that hand, but I am actually left-handed, which is weird. So yeah, I'd be all in for that, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good looking watch. I've been hoping against hope that we see Tudor do something that is actually new and different, right? I mean, it's good that they've been giving the Pelagos line a little bit of love, but they're literally like the Black Bay and Pelagos brand, right? I really want to see them open up kind of another front, if you will. Do the North flag,
yeah, there's room for that. Let's be real though, the Ranger is really good.
Oh yes, certainly.
And the other thing I would say too is you have the Black Bay non-diver line, which I don't know that, like, maybe they should call that something. The 36 is killer.
Yeah, it is.
And realistically, I like the fact that they have a 24 or a 30, the 32 and a 20, like whatever other sizes they have, I think make a lot of sense because that is a design that can be scaled pretty easily and is very, you know, whatever size you want, whoever you are, makes a ton of sense. It's just such a clean design with no date that it's very scalable. I don't know why they call it a Black Bay.
Yeah.
But again, I guess I don't know what else you would call it at this point. honestly, what I think, now that you mentioned doing something new, and oddly, I'm going to ask for this, but this isn't for me. Like, this is not for me. But what's the new Rolex line that replaced the Cellini that they came out with this year? What's Rolex's new dress watch line? Because that actually looks really good. Again, I'm not a dress watch person, but I like that. If Tudor did something 38 millimeter dress watch style, and I know they have the Glamour line, but like, actually try.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't try to make like a nice Tissot, which is essentially what those lines look like.
Yeah.
And that's not to knock Tissot, but to me, it's like, if I'm going to buy something that looks like that, I'm going to spend $500 on a Tissot. I'm not going to spend $2,500 on a Tudor. Like, just given the way that, but like, if you actually went for it and made like a 37 millimeter dress watch, well, along the lines of the Rolex that's in 40 millimeters, like, okay, let's talk. Again, I don't think I need one, but it'd be really cool. Like, that would be one where I'd be like, you know something? I have no reason to buy this watch, but that's freaking cool.
Yeah. The Glamour and like 1926. I don't know. Those feel very dead on arrival to me. I think the Royal line is fun. The ones I've seen in person, I'd love. You can tweak that bad boy and actually make it a little bit more sporty.
It just needs a different bezel.
Yeah. Well,
like, what, it needs a better bezel.
Yeah. And I don't remember if they're loomed, how much in the way of loom it's got.
Yeah.
Give me some hairy loom plots, you know?
Yeah.
A different bezel, and that's pretty bitchin'. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm still trying to heal from the North Flag not being there.
I talked about this with Spangler yesterday or last week, and it was like, oddly, I like a lot of their watches, but there's nothing that I'm like, oh man, I need that in the collection, because there are other watches that I either have or that are similar that I'm struggling with where I would go. And oddly enough, the one that I feel like I could be closest to pulling the trigger on is the one that is closest to a watch I already own, and that is the new Black Bay 41 with the burgundy bezel and the Jubilee bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen one of those in person. It's different enough. Master Chronometer, like, it's a killer, killer piece. And it is not in any way nearly different enough from my Black Bay Steel, but like, that's the one that I could say, you know something? That guy. But it's funny. It's like, I don't know. I've been thinking about that old Zenith a while now that I've seen it, because I'd never seen one in person, but it is kind of funny. There hasn't been a watch where I've been thinking about it nearly as much as I think about the Roman Empire. So, you know, do you not get that joke?
I shifted in my seat and I couldn't quite hear it.
I said, there hasn't, this is going to fall completely flat now, Buzz. Thank you for shifting. It's okay. It's okay. But I said, there hasn't been a watch that's come out in a while that I have thought about nearly as much as like you and I think about the Roman Empire.
Yes. I really love that the Roman Empire is having a moment. it really... I guess I am kind of surprised that this isn't common knowledge that, you know, the all men think about Rome. Well, I don't always think about the Empire, to be fair. I think about the Republic a lot, you know.
The funny thing is, for purposes of internet memery, that all falls into the same, because people don't realize the distinction.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of wonder if winning the... I'm kind of the opinion that winning the Punic War sets the eventual downfall of the Republic in motion. But yeah, or think of the Tarquin, you know, kings and the kingdom of Rome starting off. Yeah. Ave Roma.
Anyway, I mean,
well, now that you've depressed me, it's bad enough that Nick Chubb's knee got deleted on Monday Night Football. Like
I didn't see it. Was it as bad as Willis McGahee's?
Yes.
Okay, but was it worse?
It's worse.
Or was it kind of the same?
It's worse because Nick Chubb is like the avatar of what football should be. He's like, quite possibly the finest man in the league, and definitely was the best running back.
I understand that, but from an injury perspective, was it kind of similar?
Yeah, just as bad.
Okay, that sucks.
Yeah, it was god awful.
Yeah.
And, I will be in my feelings, as the kids say, for quite a while about it. It's like, just terrible. But yeah. First that, and now remembering that Roman Empire's no longer around. That's all right.
So, in some ways, we've been doing this now for, 170? This is our 178th episode.
Correct.
I feel like we've gone through ebbs and flows of excitement, like doldrums, whatever. Like, what, if anything, recently has gotten you excited? Or what are you kind of, like, hoping is around the bend? Because, you know, it does seem like it kind of ebbs and flows. We've talked about contentment. We've talked about shaking things up. We've talked about other things. I mean, in some ways, I do feel like at a certain point, there will be some watches leaving, there will be some new watches in, hopefully some consolidation, some things like that. Like, I have a few targets, so I don't think it'll be as much of a consolidation as it'll be kind of a five out, three in type of deal.
There you go.
You know, still technically fewer, but I guess I'm kind of curious, like, what... Is there anything that has been released lately that's gotten you excited? And if not, like, what are you kind of hoping? What could get you excited, I guess, then?
So the funny thing is how you're saying that that new Black Bay, even though it's really close to something you have, it's exciting. The Pelagos 39, I was really pumped for, and I feel like... It'd be over for me, like, if it had a date, because I do love my Black Bay 58, but I sign and date a lot of stuff at work.
Yeah.
And I also feel like the Pelagos being a modern type watch and not that consciously a throwback to something would be well served with a date in that 39. I went through cycles very early on when I would get all excited, all worked up about the Pelagos, and then would actually go to AD and see it in real life, and something just never clicked.
Yep.
And I feel like the 39 writes a lot of, you know, the things that never really did it for me on the Big Brother. Now, to be fair, if I got a screaming deal on the OG one, yeah, I'd go for it. Yeah. Yep. You know, $2,500, you know, some insane pickup like that. Yeah, I'd do it and not even think about it. Right. But yeah, the 39, if that had a date, I'd be all over it. You know, realistically speaking, the 58 still is the bell cow. I mean, it soaks up most of the wrist time perfectly pleased with it.
Second amount of rest time's probably the Sketchy Boy watch.
Yeah.
I would like to have a little bit of consolidation. Not that, like, money wise it's all that much. It's just seems kind of wasteful, right? To just have stuff and not ever use it. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, the 39's probably the closest near miss. I would like at some point to snatch up I don't know which one I would do first. I don't know. There are a lot of good Connies. I do think that would be a great one. But I'm pretty contented.
You may be on shorter notice with a Connie.
Oh, you bastard.
It hasn't happened yet, but I'm plotting.
Yeah.
So.
Plotting on my downfall?
I'm hoping that a couple of my Seikos can turn into one of those.
Did you hear that, everyone listening? Based on what you want to happen, do or do not buy his Seikos.
Alpinist Mountain Glacier, SARX069. Hey, the Seiko 5 GMT is already gone.
Oh, really?
That one already went. Yeah.
Just a little summer fling for you, huh?
Because, well, I had it for a year plus.
Really?
But again, it was great. It just hasn't gotten the wrist time. So, but I also think there may be something coming down the pike from Seiko that would take up even more wrist time and has similar features. So, ooh. We'll see.
That Alpinist is gorgeous. That's a good one.
It really is. And it comes with the two straps. Like I said, it's great. I've enjoyed wearing it when I wear it, but it's just not the one that I go for. And part of me wonders if I would have bought the Seiko bracelet for it, if that would have changed. But at this point, I think I'd rather have the Constellation.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like, and that's not a statement that everything without a clicky bezel is the same, but also utility-wise, there is something to be.
It has two crowns, though, dude. It has the compass bezel. It's cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm just, I don't know. In some ways, there's surprise, surprise, there are more Zeniths that I actually, like, when I remember them, I get excited. Can we talk about the Zenith Defy, like, sandblasted black?
Yeah.
Defy original. That watch is killer.
I do like, there are a lot of Defy line ones that I like. I guess it might be a good thing that they don't have much of a distribution presence, because, I mean, I'm not ever in the near occasion of purchasing one. Yeah, if you never really can see them, you're going to be less tempted.
I also, and again, I should know better. I should absolutely know better based on my prior experience with watches that don't come with bracelets. But there's something that their new Pilot line does for me that the IWC Pilot line just doesn't. And I don't know what it is. There's just, like, I do actually like their new Pilot watch. So.
Yeah, someone still needs to explain IWC to me.
We know some people who could, but
that is true.
I don't know. The other one, and this is one that I'm shocked. I just feel like it's one that we keep forgetting about and or has the wrong movement. But what's the Breitling with the rouleau bracelet?
Yes. So that if that, that one that was yeah, there were definitely a couple from Breitling that were in the same, you know, Pelagos 39, like yeah. Near miss. I could be also very happy with just buying a Super Ocean Steelfish.
or like a first gen Planet Ocean orange like bezel.
Oh yeah.
Like just some honker, right? And this is who I am.
You know, it's actually funny because we've talked a little bit about like you like what you like, and I've mentioned that ceramic and Sedna Gold Seamaster Professional. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's funny. It's like you think about it, you're like, man, would I really wear that? And it's like, well, I think the answer that would tell you is for what that watch costs, and I've tried it on and it fits amazingly for being slightly bigger, but like this exists and I don't like, I wear it, but I don't like it's not my vibe all the time. And that again makes me think that, man, that Omega is really expensive. I've got this is hanging around still, and I love this. So like maybe that fills that gap, but I do feel like that Zenith on the bracelet is the happy medium. Cause I feel like I know what that goes for. I know what you could probably pick one up for. It's kind of the halfway point between this and that Omega. And like, maybe that is, if you want to go all in on a black watch vibe, like that would be the way to do it. Like the sandblasted matte bracelet. Like maybe that's the way to go is, you know, Zenith. Again, I keep going back to it. Like I gotta get more slacks.
More slacks. You got
more slacks.
summer weight slacks.
Yeah. Oh, I have summer wool. Slacks. They're fantastic.
Yeah. Do wool shorts, perhaps?
I got plenty of, you know, the good cotton 7-inch inseam shorts.
Mm-hmm. That's the only
polo collection. Like I've got some really nice summer weight jackets now. That was part of what I picked up over at Trevor. Mm-hmm. So you know, we'll see.
Do your best. Sell everything that is in the Zenith. Buy all the Zeniths. Become Zenith man. You heard it here first, folks. He's going full Zenith.
I mean, I think I'll end up with the 3 watches for the boys, a few Zeniths, and then like 2 Seikos and a Constellation. It's going to happen.
I would like to, I mean, it's obviously not a new watch at all. I would like a Panerai at some point.
They're a vibe.
Yeah, they are.
They are such a vibe.
Yeah, they are. They scratch the ridiculous chunk of a watch itch that seems to pop up every now and then.
You know what I think I would wear more than a Panerai?
Yeah.
You're going to laugh. You're really going to laugh because I'm going to laugh as I say this. But can we just talk about the Hublot Classic Fusion? The OG style Hublot? I'm sorry, man. Like, we all kind of joked about the Hodinkee version, but like that, like if it didn't have the not for resale on the dial, that is a killer looking watch, and I don't care. The black and the like the gray and red color scheme works. I've tried on an original like in titanium with the rubber, like those things are good. Like there's a lot of what Hublot does that I really don't get. I don't know who it's for, but there is something about just the regular classic Fusion that watch, it's cool.
Yeah, it is.
I could dig it. I could dig that, man.
I'm man enough to admit it.
Yeah. I mean, there are, and the funny thing about all of this is like we've gone through, like there's none of this stuff is hype anymore. Like there's like I'm going through, it's like I know what I like and I want a Constellation, and I think I mean, the Zenith was hyped at one point, but there's like three that I would like. And honestly, it pains me to have to maybe say, because here's the other thing too. Here's the other thing that I've thought. But I've also thought about going more into Grand Seiko, because there's a lot of stuff that they make that it doesn't, I don't want to say it flies under the radar by any means, but like if you've, oh, they're so big, or oh, yes, cool. Like, oh, we get it. You can do good dials. It's like, yeah, but how many watch brands don't do dial? Like, they're so good at dial work that like everyone knocks it for what? It's a green version of the same dial. It's like, no, those are like, it's a green, awesome dial. Like, yes, some of the textures are the same, but like, let's be real here. What they do with dial work and with polishing is so beyond what a lot of other brands do that like they're so good at it that it's now boring to us as watch nerds. That's insane to me. That's insane. Oh, we get it. You can do this. Is there anything cool? I love Schmitty, but he's kind of been on, oh, it's another Grand Seiko dial. This is boring me. It's like, from a technology perspective, they're the only watch brand that has come out with a new escapement in the last 25 years. Everybody forgets about it because they do such good dial work. They came out with a brand new escapement 2.5 years ago. And it was a big deal for like a month, and then nobody cares. So like, yes, they do technological things. They do neat stuff. They've thinned down their spring drive movements, and they've made the power reserve longer, like any number of things, whatever. Like, but like, let's feel like that we're complaining because they're so good at dials that new dials aren't enough for us. That's hilarious. And I will say the one thing that they do well
is not deliver us a dive watch to compete with the sub. Well, that's true.
What I would say, you and I have both, we've tried on their 41 and 43, or we've tried on their 42 millimeter divers, and they fit amazingly well. Except for the clasp.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing. If they could, I don't even care if they don't make it sub 42. If they could just figure out a way to make their dive clasp thinner, I might be sold on a Grand Seiko diver.
And here's the thing.
I can tell you this. The reason why I say that is I absolutely love their 43 millimeter GMT. The big guy with the rotating sapphire bezel that has all the lume in the world on it. And it shouldn't wear as well as it does, but it's amazing and it's spring drive. That does not have the dive clasp on it, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. This is also some of their older quartz. They have like a very odd, there's a ton of, they've tried dive watches, a whole bunch.
Yep.
And there are some of their quartz ones that are actually, they're absurd, but they're kind of cool looking, and that's another one that if it popped up for the right amount of money, I would buy, and yeah, maybe it sticks, maybe it doesn't. That's a candidate for the rotating spot, if the rotating spot existed.
Well, that goes back to what was the one fresh form find that we found for sub $1,000? It was the double stamped Seiko Grand Seiko Quartz Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those you're like, man, for that, I don't know. Like, that's another one that could just be in the box. Like, I feel like that's one of those where you're like, yeah, I may wear it once or twice a month, but like, it's really cool once or twice a month to have for not a lot of money. So I don't know. There's some cool stuff out there. And it's funny because, you know, as you and I are talking, what we're excited about are watches that we've discovered that either have existed for a while or are, you know what I mean? Like they're not the new releases as much.
Agreed.
So, I don't know.
Agreed.
The Steelfish.
Steelfish, baby.
Well, you've been lifting weights, so.
I have. I'm on a push-pull legs and shoulders split. And then 2 days of conditioning also.
So yeah, we're doing some work. It's good. Lift the heavy circles. Make the sad voice go away. It's what you need to do.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still waiting for. Still waiting for the next new release that makes me reconsider stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I'm fine with being merely amused by the new releases and not like thrown into just this like lather over them.
Well, but see, the thing that I find interesting about it is I want another new release like what Oris did with the PPX, because I love that watch. But didn't really have a ton of competition to get the watch that I wanted. And you know something? There's a beauty to that where you're like, man, this was for me. This one is absolutely for me. And I'm sure it's for other people too. But like, when it's not for everybody, but it speaks to you, like that to me is what is kind of the most fun. You're like, yeah, when the Black Bay 58 came out, everybody freaking loved it. When the Black Bay GMT came out, everybody was all over. Like, there are certain watches where they come out and you're like, everyone has to have them. Like, and it doesn't, it's largely a couple of brands, but I mean, Swatch was one of them.
Right.
So like, I'm not looking for something like that. I'm not looking for something to come out and speak to me and everybody. In fact, like I actually kind of look at my collection and think, oh, there are a lot of kind of odd pieces in this. It's like, you're an odd bunch. you know, there's some classics in there. I mean, there's the Speedy, there's the Seamaster Professional. Like there's a few of them in there, but you're like, I want something to come out and be like, that's for me. And for a few people who have my weird affliction, but I got like, when I want that watch, it's a matter of, is one in stock currently, or can I have the next one? Because I know there's not three or four of us deep who are asking for this
right
in this region. I know somehow you managed to sell the other one before I could assemble the funds. Cool. I'll wait another month and then you can just tell me when it comes in. Then I'll probably wait another month just to be sure. And then I'll come in and buy it.
Yeah. The hype train is not where I live. That is not even remotely close.
There's part of me that if they came out with, and I go back to, because this is hilarious because he's not wrong, but if they came out with a two-tone Seamaster 300 with the new bracelet, I'd probably be all over that. I love the bronze gold, but we already know me and watches on straps, especially leather on a diver. There's a reason why that doesn't exist, but I can remember joking with Justin. He's like, we made that for 10 years and nobody bought them. I'm like, well, but the bracelet wasn't as good.
Like, yep. I saw a Seamaster 300 at the ball game today.
They're great watches.
Fine looking watch.
They're great watches. But I digest. Anyway. Oh, wow. Well, so there you have it. Me and Buzzy are most excited about watches that have been out for at least 5 years.
That's right.
If not longer. So, you know, take that shock for what you will. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
I guess all we say is, see ya.